All right. We're going to talk about sheep, the good shepherd, in Psalm 23, but just a few fun facts about sheep. Any of you raised sheep in the past? I'm safe then. All right. Well, sheep are amazing. From head to toe, they have some incredible features that the Creator, God, has given them. For example, sheep have a brain. How many people think that sheep are dumb? If you've raised them, you'd say, yeah, they are dumb in a lot of ways, but sheep are not dumb. They actually have, they can remember 50 faces up to 2 years later. I'm not sure how they do that. On the scale of intelligence, they are just below, or down the same level as a cow and just below a pig. And I'm not sure who gives those tests either. They have amazing eyes. And if you look to the person next to you there, you'll see that their pupils are round. A sheep's eyes are the shape of your card. They're rectangular because they have a peripheral vision. Here, stay there, Beulah. They have a peripheral vision that they can, like I can see right about to here, but they can see to there without turning their head. Isn't that amazing? And the Creator made them that way because they have no defenses, you know, other than being able to run or hide or whatever, go crazy. But they can see 320 degrees behind them. They have, of course, a nose. They have a really good sense of smell. But do you know that sheep also smell with their toes? I mean, your feet smell. But sheep smell with their, they have scent glands in between their toes, which is kind of amazing. Their lip construction is kind of cool. They have 32 teeth, but all in the bottom jaw.
So they talk like this, if you're talking with a sheep.
And they have a split upper palate lip up there so they can contort their mouth to get in the craziest places to feed. It's just a great invention. And, of course, they're covered with wool. And sheep are good for wool and meat and milk and whatever. But it's really the wool that they're woolly famous for, of course. An average size sheep can do like between 30 and 40 pounds of wool a year, which is a lot. And you take 1 pound of wool, turn it into a string of yarn, and it's 7 miles long. So you can see they're pretty valuable, and there's over 1 billion domesticated sheep on the planet. But they're amazing creatures. I learned today that a sheep has a built-in immunity to snake bites. Isn't that cool? And they're just amazing critters. But sheep are also easily scared when they're alone, just like we are, right? And they're very jumpy, and they do all kinds of things. Sheep are very vulnerable. In fact, if they kind of get on their back like this poor sheep, this sheep cannot right itself, which is a real problem when the wolf is coming, right? And they certainly need a shepherd, and you cross their feet, they can't really get anywhere either. Their arm, their legs, and sheep are that. Sheep get hungry in the worst way because they'll eat just about anything. They have favorites. You know, forbs, they like leafy green plants and, you know, that kind of stuff and grains. But they'll eat anything, including poisonous plants, and so they need a shepherd to help them be sure to eat the right kind of stuff. Sheep also tend to wander. We tend to do that too, don't we? Sheep will wander for basically two reasons, well, three. One is when they're scared, they go, ah! They just, you know, run for it, because that's all they can do is run. There are some sheep that are curious, and there are some sheep that are naughty, and they just wander because they wander, and we do kind of do that too. And then another really neat feature about sheep is that sheep know their shepherd's voice. In John chapter 10, Jesus talked about how he's the good shepherd, and the sheep know his voice, and he calls them by name, and they follow him. It's just a beautiful picture, and so sheep are special. And, you know, because sheep are common in Bible days, and because we hear so much like sheep, the Bible talks a lot about sheep because you are sheep. Which reminds me, I was coming down 94 this morning, and there was a trooper stopped off the side of the road, and I drove past, and I looked inside, and there was a sheep that was in the driver's wheel, the driver's side, and I thought, it's cute. So I turned around, and I came back, and I pulled up. He said, what's the deal? So I had to stop the sheep. It made an illegal U-turn on 94. Love it? Okay, that's a... Sorry, that's just the way it goes. What do you get when you cross a sheep with your porcupine? A sheep with a porcupine? You get a critter that can sew its own sweaters. How about that? But sheep are amazing, and the fact is, you know, you're a sheep, and so is that good or bad, right? That we're sheep. We don't really know, but we are sheep. The Bible says that in Psalm 100. Let me just read this. It's just it's a beautiful picture. It says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture." It's such a beautiful picture of that relationship. And we too, like all those characters, we get scared when we're alone. We tend to wander into sin, into trouble. We desperately need help. We just need the Savior. And that's why Psalm 23 has been such a precious psalm for people throughout the time. It's written by King David, who himself was a shepherd, you know. And he was tending his sheep when he was anointed king. And so there's a pretty good correlation between leading sheep and leading people, a nation. So he's like the shepherd king and a beautiful type of Christ, who is our shepherd, our good shepherd, and he's our king and leader. And so David, they say probably toward the end of his life, put together this psalm, wrote this psalm, perhaps reflecting back on his life as a shepherd and also as a king and seeing the goodness of God in that. It's a kind of a precious psalm for many people. It is for sure the number one funeral psalm, but it's such a wonderful psalm that you shouldn't wait till your funeral to be able to apply this psalm to your life. It's good while you're alive, so be sure to do that. And I had a chance thinking about using this psalm in a community setting. Being as a camp director, I'm also part of the local ministerial association, and a number of years ago, there was a young man, a 17-year-old junior in Uppsala, who was dropped off by his friends after school. It was a snow day, so they got out early, and he lived just off the main road that went out of Uppsala. And, you know, it was snowing so bad, and his driveway was full, so his friends just dropped him off on the highway. And then he got out of the car, stepped out, and did not see the white truck coming in the white snow. Boom, and it hit him. His name was Adam. And he wasn't killed, but he was in really bad shape, and they put him in the hospital. And rumors started going around that he was getting better, he's getting back in school, he's going to make it to prom. But the truth was, he was on life support. He had donated his organs, and the time came to announce that he had passed away, so they called the pastors in. And so I got the phone call saying, in half an hour, there's going to be this service in town. At the school, there was an announcement at the assembly, and then when that is done, there's going to be a little break, and then anybody that wants to stay for a prayer service is invited to stay. That would be led by the ministerial. That would be us. And so I had a five-minute drive from camp to school thinking, Lord, what do we do? What do I say? And the Lord, not audibly, but it just impressed on me, share my word. Okay, what scripture? Psalm 23. And is when I went through Psalm 23 on that day in that setting, that it was powerful. I mean, everybody's stunned. They were just not prepared. The students were not prepared to hear the news that Adam was gone. And then there's this break. And you know, clergy also need help. There's no script, you know, for some of these moments. And as it turned out, because the Lord had prepared me with a text, I had the opportunity to share with the community, and everybody stayed. And it was a powerful moment. And as I shared through this Psalm 23, there's really two ways to read it. The first is you look for the Lord's Psalm, and then you see it's my Psalm, and we're going to do that now. So grab your cards. So we're going to go through this together. And you'll see, first of all, that Psalm 23 is indeed the Lord's Psalm. So we're going to read this through out loud together. And I want you to be looking for references in this short six-verse psalm to the Lord. So be the name Lord, or the pronouns he or his, you or your. So when you read through this, you kind of emphasize those words and help you out. I've underlined them for you. Now, we also need somebody to count. Can somebody help us count? Use your fingers. Right. We need somebody else besides Ross. We need a couple just to some of. In addition to you, we need one more counter. Can somebody else count? Okay, so just get your hands ready and kind of count as you go. And we'll see how many times. It's amazing. But we're going to read this out loud, like together. Here you go. You ready? Psalm 23. The Lord, now remember, be sure to emphasize anything that refers to the Lord. So the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What'd you get? 13. How did you matched? That's correct. Ding, ding, ding. 13 times. So if you want to take a personal study sometime and you want to say, well, what's the Lord really like? Well, Psalm 23 will tell you so much about who the Lord is. With every one of these references comes a quality or a feature. And we don't have time to do that this morning, but it is such a rich, rich study of who the Lord is. I started making a list of the Lord's qualities, and I got up to 17. And you two will find that rich. Who is the Lord? Especially as we kind of go through these seasons of life where there are decisions and changes and struggles and whatever. We're raising a son. Who is this Lord? Well, there he is. Psalm 23. It's the Lord's psalm. But you know what? As I shared with the group, it's also my psalm. This is a psalm that I can share. I can pray. So we're going to read it through again. All right, we have our counters. You need to take your shoes off. Because you're going to need your toes. All right? This is, keep them on. If they smell like Brad, Grant, keep them on. So here we go. We're going to read together. This time we're going to, you can emphasize the my, the I, all right? That's all part of this. Ready? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Woo-hoo, right? What'd you get? 17 times. 17 personal references in this psalm. And on that particular day with all those students, I didn't really know Adam personally. I knew his younger brother because he played basketball with Monty. But I know the shepherd. And I didn't know about his relationship with the Lord, but people that have a relationship with the Lord can claim this psalm as their psalm. 17 times it's such a personal psalm. And then you can put this all together. It's the Lord's psalm. It's my psalm. And so then we call it the Shepherd's Psalm. There it is, the Shepherd's Psalm. We learned so much about the shepherd, my shepherd. He's called the Good Shepherd. In the Bible at camp, we're going to call him the good shepherd because it's good that he's the good shepherd, right? And there are three lessons, and I could give you a whole bunch of them, but for the sake of time, I just want to give you a few today. Some important lessons that come out of this that you can share with your friends. But maybe today you're in a spot of trouble or concern or fears or whatever, and so you need to take to heart first these messages, and then you can share them with a friend. The first lesson is this. The good shepherd leads his sheep. Now, anybody of you raised cattle growing up? I know this is a pretty suburban community, right? I married a dairy farmer's daughter, so I've learned a lot about cows and hay and straw. You know, there's a difference between hay and straw. And I found that out very embarrassingly. They asked me to kick down, I don't know what, 6 bales of hay, and I kicked down 3 yellow ones and 3 green ones. And the phone call went back to the house saying, what kind of guy are you dating anyway? But anyway, but they raise cattle. And if you know anything about cows or whatever, you see those wagon train movies and whatever, they drive cattle. You get these horses out there and their whips, and they're driving them to Omaha, right, or wherever cows go to be sold. But sheep aren't driven. Sheep need to be led. They're afraid. They don't like to be alone. They don't have any defenses. They love their shepherd, and they need to be led. And the Bible begins by saying, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. When we think of here in Minnesota or the Midwest, we think of green pastures. We think of this, right? Iowa, the land of flat hills, right? Just Iowa has just a lot of green. I used to live in Iowa for a couple years, and Minnesota has that too, out in our area. There's these rolling hills, you know, the alfalfa, just nice green grass. But you know, in the Bible lands where King David was as a shepherd, this is the green pastures. Do you see the grass in this picture? It's there. See, there's little tufts on the bottom, along the rocks, and on the hillside, and whatever. See, David led these sheep out in the wilderness. I'm not sure why they fight over Israel, that this dirt, but the green is there. And the shepherd knows that sheep need that. A sheep needs to eat 2 to 3% of its body weight every day to survive. That's 3 to 5 pounds. That's a lot in this place. But the shepherd can be trusted to lead. And of course, they can't stay in there day after day because they'll kill all those plants. So the shepherd leads them to the green pastures. And the Lord knows that we need to feed too. We need green pastures. We also need quiet waters. This is not a quiet waters. There's a lot of water. And I don't know if there's any engineers in here, but how many gallons of water would go by me standing along the edge of this creek even in a minute? How many hundreds? Thousands? I don't know. Gallons of water that go by in a minute, let alone an hour, let alone a day. So much water. But you know what? A sheep can't drink there. He said he leads me beside still waters. Quiet waters. Waters like these. A sheep, because they're so spooked, they'll be spooked by the water. So the wise, the good shepherd takes care of his sheep. He feeds them. He leads them to quiet waters where they can drink. And if there are no quiet waters, then the shepherd will make quiet waters. He'll take that stream and he'll partition off a section where there's quiet waters, because the shepherd knows what his sheep needs. And he says he restores my soul. And we need quiet waters. We need green pastures. That's who the good shepherd is, who takes care of his sheep. He leads us in paths of righteousness. So here's the just another picture here of the shepherd leading us in paths of righteousness. The Hebrew literally means the right paths. The shepherd knows where we need to go. For the green pastures, for the quiet waters, for safety, for protection, whatever. I love silhouettes anyway, so I just love this picture. But there you see the shepherd and the sheep following. He knows which ways to go. And we all know that sometimes life is like this. You, as Yogi Berra said, when you come to a fork, take it. Right? That's what he said. Take it. And like, do we go left or do we go right? Sometimes it's just a simple A versus B. Like when you go to the dentist, A or B, 1 or 2, right? Sometimes it's like this. You go, whoa, where's my exit ramp? This, by the way, is Uppsala, right? They just built this new system, so if you come to camp sometime, be prepared. But sometimes life is really complex and hard, and you just know what to do. But you know, we have a good shepherd who leads us in paths of righteousness. Righteousness means the right thing according to God's plan. And that's who our shepherd is. He's the good shepherd, and he leads his sheep. And I don't know if there's any kids in here. I don't really see a lot of them, but they would relate to this decision. What do you do? Yeah, these big decisions make. Which one do I pick? I always say it's easy. Pick the black licorice. Ah, for one thing, nobody else wants it, right? But I love black licorice. But, you know, we have a shepherd who leads us. Here's the second thing, is that the good shepherd, I wonder where that slide went to, right? The good shepherd leads his sheep, and the good shepherd protects his sheep. I'm not sure where that word protects went on there. Was it on there? It's not. But the good shepherd protects his sheep. Isn't that good news? Sheep can't protect themselves. They have no defenses. The number one predator is a wolf, right? And you can see the bear there. It steps out. And just go back to one slide, if you would, please. This is a pretty typical scene in the Middle East of like David would have seen as he brought his sheep through these areas from one valley, one wadi, to the next one to find sheep and water, or grass and water for his sheep. And, you know, what possible dangers are there for a sheep in this scenario? Like, what could be around that corner? What's behind that rock? What's in the shadows? Is it a wolf? Is it a robber? You know, is it a bandit? Whatever. But the shepherd, he has his rod and his staff, and they take care of him. He protects his sheep. And so when that bear does come out, now the shepherd gets behind his sheep, gets between the sheep and the predator, and stands there and protects them. That's what the Lord does. The Lord protects his sheep. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadows of death, the Hebrew is literally valley of shadows. Valley of shadows. And sometimes we walk through the valley of shadows too. Very unnerving futures. This is a really unnerving time to be alive in America, in this world, the tensions internationally and on our scene, the divisions and the hatred and all that kind of stuff, you know. I don't know if you watch the State of the Union address, but they're throwing bombs each way. Just that's what we live in. It's a very dark time. And maybe it's the news that you're talking about with your doctor, or maybe your financial planner, or the school board people, or whatever. They're just dark, hard times, but we have a shepherd who leads us through the valley of shadows, through the valley of the shadow of death. And he says, I will fear no evil, for you're with me. Your rod and your staff are with me. Those are the tools of a shepherd. The rod, like he's using in that one picture to fight off the bear. The staff to pull a sheep back out of trouble. That's what the good shepherd does. He leads us to quiet waters. And then here's another one. And I'm not really sure where that slide went, but this is what it says. The last thing here, it says, the good shepherd brings all of his sheep home. Isn't this good news? The good shepherd brings all of his sheep home. And you get toward the end of this precious psalm, you go through, he leads us to quiet waters, green pastures, all these things, through the right paths, even through when life gets really hard. And then there's the promise to lead us home. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and my cup overflows. And then you have this grand finale. It says, surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. By the way, the word follow me in Hebrew really has more the idea of pursue. God loves his sheep so much that he pursues his sheep when they wander, when they're lost, when they're in need. And then we follow his love and his goodness, follow me all the days of my life. And I had a Bible teacher named Dr. J. Edwin Hartle. Anybody know of him? He was at Northwestern for a number of years. He's my Bible survey teacher. Just a wonderful man of God and loved the word of God. And he talked about this psalm and the goodness and mercy, the goodness and love that follows me. These two, goodness and love, they're the sheepdogs. So you see picture of a sheepdog, and their job is to, well, they kind of protect, but they kind of keep the sheep together. They bring the sheep home, and that's what they do. So here's a couple fun pictures. I love this one, which is really active, right, where that sheepdog is going after them, and the sheep are actually afraid of the dog, which just makes it his role a lot easier or more effective or whatever. But it's how it is. And in the Bible, you have these sheepdogs. And Dr. Hartle says it's these two, the goodness and love, or the loving kindness, or translated mercy. These are the two sheepdogs that follow us, that are God's sheepdog, that bring us home, that lead us home. And in Scripture, these two words, goodness and love or mercy, are two of the sweetest words in the whole Old Testament. The first one is tov, that's goodness. In Genesis chapter 1, God made the heavens and the earth, and it says, and God saw that all that he had made, and it was, that's not what it says. It was very good, right? That's the grand finale. It says good, 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 good all the way through. And then you get to the last one. I think there are 10 of them. And it gets very good. And that word is tov. And tov is, it's a word that we as in our language, we can't really get our arms around the sweetness of really what it is. But it's that goodness of God that comes through what he makes and what he creates. And it's just who God is. It's a part of his essence. We have a good God. It's who he is. And some of us have an idea of God, of this angry, mean God who's vengeful, wrathful. And God is a holy God. He's going to come and judge. But God is holy, and he's full of his goodness. It's his being. And that's the goodness that David knew throughout his lifetime. Even through David's time of sin and fall and challenges with his family, he could see the goodness of God. It wasn't too long ago. In fact, it was a year ago, October, where that hurricane hit Florida. You remember that? Ian, and my mom has a house in Cape Coral, which was right the bullseye when it came to shore. There's a 9-foot water surge that came down their canal, hit their house, and messed up all kinds of stuff, right? And they got in the house, they had to tear everything out. It was just a mess. And a couple of days later, my mom was here, the hurricane was down there, and she said, Billy, tell me something good, because she's really struggling. And I said, I'll tell you this, you're going to look back, and you're going to see the goodness of God. 3 months later, she was in that house, spending 2 months in Florida. Just amazing. It's a long story. But that's who God is. God is good. But God is also merciful. He's loving. And the Hebrew word is chesed. I don't think there's a sweeter word than that. It's a loyal, covenantal love. And it's throughout the whole Old Testament. The Lord is good. And give praise to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. You know that song? All right? The word loving kindness in that little anthem, which is the national anthem of Israel, is the word chesed. And it shows up hundreds of times in the Old Testament. It's this picture of God's love. And he says that we can trust him. He is the shepherd that's going to bring us through. Chesed. Loyal love. You can count on it. His promises. What a precious thing to share with people who are struggling. That's who God is. And it's his goodness and his love, his tov and his chesed, that will lead us all the way home forever. That's so good. Let me just close by sharing two stories. This is my friend Dave Holman, who's now in heaven. I already miss him. Dave Holman was 86 years old. We thought we were going to lose him like 8 or 9 years ago to cancer. But he's amazing. He came through it. If you've ever been to camp, he lives on that S-curve. He has a strawberry farm right there. We have 5 acres cut off of his 40, so we have a really close relationship, and we are fishing buddies. And so it was really strange this year to go fishing without him. But Dave loved the Lord. You spend any time with him, he'd start quoting scripture. He had such a heart and a concern for his neighbors and his friends and loving them and sharing truth. But it was really hard. He was in a lot of pain. He had 3 different kinds of cancers that he's battling, and his back hurt for the last year of his life, and he still went fishing. He can't stop a fisherman, right? But he went fishing, but he's in such pain. In those last days, he was confined to his house and to his bed, and it was just really tough, and I stopped to visit him two weeks before he died. And I said, Dave, how you doing? He said, Bill, I'm going down. And I looked at him and says, Dave, you're not going down. You're going up. Because he loved talking about the coming of the Lord and end times. He says, you are going up. He says, that's right. And we start singing together, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Right? The treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me. And then he starts speeding up from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord. I mean, he just, away he went. But you know what? Dave had a shepherd. And we talked about Psalm 23 and other psalms together. And it was such great comfort for him. And so this is a tool that you can use with somebody like I will do today with my friend Laura. We will share the Psalm 23 together. She loves that psalm. She loves the Savior. And you can use that to comfort. It's just a great tool. And that was a blessing. And I had a chance to speak at his funeral and encourage other people with that moment too. It was amazing. One last story. And this is Lisa's mom and dad. And they were dairy farmers in South Dakota, about 17 miles north of Brookings. And Eunice, when she was a girl, she raised sheep. And you can see the picture there with one of her sheep. And then she had them all named, and she loved her sheep. And then this man fell in love with her, and they got married. They came together. He was a dairy farmer. She raised sheep. And, well, that's not the marriage made in heaven part. But they did really, really well together. But Arlen, you know, he says, we can't have these sheep. So without talking to his new bride, he sold the sheep to her brother. Oh, man. Eunice. I think Arlen got an idea of what kind of woman he married. She had strong opinions. She shared that with him, I'm sure. And so Arlen, with his tail between his legs, had to go to his brother-in-law and buy back the sheep at a loss. Because that's just the way the family works, right? But you know, she loves sheep. And sadly for Eunice, she's been gone 3 years now. She had dementia the last 7 years of her life. And it was so sad. And those of you that have dementia loved ones, you kind of know what I'm talking about. You just watch this gradual decline. And it's just really tough. She lived in home for a little bit. We took her home in our house for 9 months until it was too difficult. She was put in a nursing home for her last 4 years or whatever it was. And but you know, we went and visited her, and she remembered less and less and less. And then the time came when she could no longer even, well, she didn't remember me a long time before that. When she's living with us, she's really confused by me. She told Lisa, there's some man living in my house, and he sits around, he does nothing all day. I married your daughter. Wow, she says, I would know. Okay. But anyway, the time came when she couldn't even remember Lisa's name. And that's pretty difficult for a daughter. But you know what? When we get done, we'd always pray with her. We'd sing a hymn. And I remember the time we quoted Psalm 23. Because she's a shepherdess. That was her psalm. So we started singing Psalm 23. She couldn't say Lisa, but she could quote the Psalm 23. It was such a precious, precious psalm, and it was deep into her heart. And it was my privilege at her funeral to share Psalm 23. And it's your opportunity to share this precious psalm with the people in your world who need guidance, they need encouragement, they need the Lord's love, because this psalm tells us who the Lord is, and it's personal. This is my psalm. And it can be theirs too. So I'm not sure where you're at today. But you have a good, good shepherd. If you've given your life to Jesus, he's saying, come follow me, right? Follow me, right? If you come follow him, you are his sheep. And he'll take care of you all the way home. So Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you so much for this precious psalm. It's really a gift from you to us, from the shepherd to a wandering lost sheep that needed to be rescued. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, right? But we have a Savior who is the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. You're also our good shepherd, so encourage this flock here today. And Lord, may they indeed take this good psalm and then share it with the people in their world. Tell who you are and the good news of your promises. Oh, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Bill.